From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
It's good to have you listening in today as we continue with our studies in Colossians chapter 1. This is Alan Cairns with you, welcoming you to the broadcast. I hope that you'll stay with us for the rest of this segment as we look into the subject of the preeminence of Christ in redemption. I hope that you have been already encouraged and edified as we have looked into this subject, and that today as we continue it, your own heart will be greatly lifted up in the Lord Jesus. Before we turn to the study for today, however, we're going to look for our daily devotional at John 9:25. Blindness banished by the light of the world. The man who was born blind and was healed by the Lord Jesus said, "One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see." Robbery is the devil's art. Satan and his children ever seek to steal away the faith of God's elect. While the Christian will be unable to explain every aspect of the operation of God's saving grace, his new spiritual light will make him resolute in the faith. The public may be totally skeptical of the scientist's claims before the experiment, but who will refute his findings when the results are clear for all to see? Many who could never hope to comprehend the intricate steps of the experimental process may nonetheless feel the benefits of the visible results and derive great comfort from them in daily life. Reformed theologians agree that regeneration is the direct act of the Spirit of God upon the human heart. It is the work of one of the Trinitarian persons upon a human person. This definition rules out and sweeps away any instrumentality, whether it be preacher, priest, church rite, or whatever. Regeneration is the immediate act of God. This divine act plants spiritual life in a dead soul. God savingly enlightens the mind, naturally darkened by sin. This is the only answer to man's awful blindness. At the fall of man, his eyes were put out. But in the miracle of the new birth, God in grace restores his spiritual eyesight. Theologians may be unable to explain this doctrine fully, but the ungodly cannot dismiss it on that account, because hosts of God's people can testify from experience, whereas, "I was blind, now I see." The laws of electricity are above the minds of many who daily flip the electrical switch for light. When the world would rob the Christian of his faith in Christ, he may not have enough theological knowledge to answer every question. But thank God, because of the enlightening power of the gospel, he is nonetheless blessed with assurance and certainty. And who can argue against this light? Our thought for the day comes from the Southern Baptist speaker of a generation back, Vance Havner. "One man with a glowing experience of God is worth a library full of arguments."
The whole world was lost in the darkness of sin. The light of the world is Jesus. Like sunshine at noonday, his glory shone in.
I was blind, but now I
If you're a regular listener to Let the Bible Speak, you will no doubt have heard me mention the booklet Separated Unto the Gospel. Let me tell you a little more about it, and perhaps you'll decide you would like to receive a free copy. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church here in North America, and this booklet aims to tell you what you need to know about our church. In a time when mainline Presbyterianism has become increasingly apostate, some people are surprised to find Presbyterians who still believe the Bible and stand for it without apology or compromise. Free Presbyterians are not the only Presbyterians who do this. There are other faithful men and churches, and we thank the Lord for them. However, they are increasingly difficult to find, and we want to kneel our colors to the mast. We believe the Bible and seek to be faithful to it in every area. The booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, sets forth a very brief historical sketch of how the Free Presbyterian Church came into being and what its doctrines and practices are. We know that in an age when there are so many charlatans and compromisers of Scripture around, people are justly wary of anything with which they are not familiar. We hope this booklet will help you to get to know us a little better. We'd be happy to send it to you free of charge if you write or call and request it. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is LTBS@freepres.org. Our toll-free telephone number is 1-866-877-LTBS, 1-866-877-5827. So if you'd like to have the booklet Separated Unto the Gospel, make sure you write or call. We look forward to hearing from you. Turning now to Colossians chapter 1, we continue our study of the preeminence of Christ in redemption. We have been looking at the fact that he is preeminent in the life of the church, he is preeminent in the fullness of his perfections, And today we emphasize that he's preeminent also in the success of his work.
When God sent his Son into the world, he became a man. Not that he lost his deity, but he took into union with that deity a true humanity. And God poured out upon the God-man such a fullness that there was absolutely nothing lacking in Christ that needed to be there for the full, perfect, and eternal accomplishment of the work of our redemption. Do you begin to get the slightest glimpse of why it is so offensive to God and so subversive to the gospel for the Pope to name Mary as a co-mediatrix with Christ, a co-redemptrix with Christ? Can you begin to understand the blasphemy that resonates in the ears of God and rises like a stench from hell in his nostrils when men seek to make Jesus Christ, his Son, one way to God? One of many? When God has poured all the fullness into Christ, it means there is not a dram of ability or grace or possibility in any other person in all of history. It's Christ or hell. Let me put it as bluntly as that. It's Christ or the wrath of God forever. Because God has said he has the preeminence, all the fullness is in him. And the final thing, he is preeminent, verse 20, in the success of his work. Here we read that having made peace through the blood of his cross, God by him determined to reconcile all things to himself, all things, whether they be things in heaven or things in earth. If I can give the words in their order, through him to reconcile, and the tense of the verb has the idea of to reconcile once for all. Through him to reconcile once for all things to himself, having made peace through the blood of his cross. Now follow me carefully here. God made Christ to be three great things. Number one, he made him the sole mediator. The word by is really the word through. By him to reconcile. Through him to reconcile. He is the mediator. God knows no other. There is one God. There is one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. There is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. I love the title that Martin Lloyd-Jones gave to a sermon that he preached in that great text in Acts 4 and verse 12. He simply titled it, No Second Name. Beautiful, beautiful summary of what Peter was saying. No second name. He is the sole mediator. But then, note the word I'm using, and I haven't made it up. It's a perfectly good English word. He received him as the sole reconciliator. Now, why do I say reconciliator, not reconciler? Well, just look at your text. It is God who is doing the reconciling. It is the Father who is the reconciler. It is the Son who is the reconciliator. He's the one who purchased this reconciliation. He's the one who did the work. Now, reconciliation presupposes some things. It presupposes first. You see, it's not just conciliation, it's reconciliation. It presupposes first there was a time when there was amity, when there were no barriers, there was no enmity between God and man. That's the original state when God created Adam. But then it presupposes that there arose an alienation from God. And that's the fall. There you have, in this word, understood the whole history of the world. Created without sin and perfect union and fellowship with God. Ruined by sin and alienated from God by wicked works. Adrift from God. Under the wrath of God. An enemy of God. What's to be done? God purposed that Christ would be the reconciliator. He would, by His own mighty work and merit, He would provide the ground to bring men back to God. And notice that He, by Him, reconciles all things in heaven and earth to Himself. Now that has caused an awful lot of talk. Some universalists depend on that. It says everybody's going to be saved. He's going to reconcile everybody, everywhere. Well, there's no universalism here. Notice that it says in heaven and earth. It doesn't say anything about under the earth. In other words, those evil, wicked spirits that fell in Satan's transgression and are held in bondage to their wickedness and sin to the final judgment of God, they will never, never, never taste any fruit of the cross of Christ except eternal judgment. Now is the judgment of this world, said Jesus, talking about His cross, and the prince of this world is judged. It's the only fruit of Calvary Satan and his angels will ever feel. Can I say also that's the only fruit of Calvary that people, the children of Adam, who remain disobedient and rebellious and rejecting Christ, will ever feel. He's not talking about universalism. In fact, to be quite honest, I don't think He's talking about angels at all here or anything beyond the work of His kingdom. I'll tell you why. Some great commentators think, well, the angels are included here in some way. Well, hogwash. You know, the angels of heaven are not reconciled to God. They never needed to be reconciled to God. Christ didn't die to reconcile angels to God. Hebrews 2 says, He did not lay hold of angels. That should be plain enough for anybody. He didn't do it. John Gill has a very simple answer. What are these things in heaven and earth? He says, well, they are all the elect in heaven and earth. Trust John Gill. John Gill was a great man for finding election wherever it could be found and in quite a few places where it couldn't be found. And I don't have an awful lot of quarrel with him because he's one of the most stupendously brilliant commentators that we have ever had in the New Testament scriptures. And I certainly have a great admiration for what he says. But it just won't wash here because it's all things, not all people. It includes the people, but it goes beyond them. What are the all things in heaven and earth? There shouldn't be any big problem here. Does the Bible not tell us in Romans 8 that the whole creation groans because of sin? Therefore, is it a big surprise that the whole creation feels the effect of the cross? Romans 8:21 says, the creature, or the whole creation, itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. So when it says he's reconciled all things in heaven and earth, what it's really simply saying is that Christ has procured a kingdom of peace with God that will forever encompass heaven and earth. There is such a thing as a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. There is a kingdom, heaven and earth, that will be forever undisturbed by sin, undisturbed by rebellion, undisturbed by Satan, that will live forever in the enjoyment of communion and fellowship with God, in the glorious enjoyment of the preeminence of Christ, serving God in his temple day and night, with joys that we cannot begin even to imagine. God received Christ as the reconciliator, and he points our attention to the final development of the kingdom of the Son of his love. But you know, all this depends on one other thing, and that is God accepted him as the sole propitiator. God made peace. God reconciled all things through Christ, through the blood of his cross. I like the Bible's emphasis on blood atonement. I know it's old-fashioned. Well, if it's old-fashioned to believe the Bible, God save me from ever getting modern. The Bible makes much of the blood. I will make much of the blood as long as God gives me breath. I'm sick, sore, and tired of preachers denigrating the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Years ago, and of course this is something that really runs for a long time through church history, but years ago it became very popular, especially in certain Anglican circles in England, and to speak about the reconciliation that God effected with humanity because of the act of incarnation. Now, actually, in the New Testament, you can't segregate or separate the incarnation from the life or from the death or from the resurrection. It's all ideally one perfect event, and one part depends upon the other. Sever any and you've destroyed all. But it is totally false to say that by the mere act of incarnation, by becoming a man, God reconciled humanity unto him. In the Bible, humanity can only be reconciled by blood. There is no reconciliation without propitiation. The preeminence of Christ in his redemption is something that depends on his atoning death. Unless that death made a sacrificial atonement to satisfy divine justice, fulfill the demands of the holy law of God, then there is no redemption. But bless God, he died an atoning death.
Been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. I hope that you found today's broadcasting a blessing to your heart. If you'd like to email us, our email address is ltbs@freepres.org. Or if you'd prefer, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 1-800-273-29615. We would love to hear from you. If you'd like to know how to be saved and how to be sure you're saved, we'd like to send you my booklet, A New Beginning, and I think that you'll find it very helpful. Each quarter we publish a free full-color magazine, Let the Bible Speak Quarterly, with a good variety of Bible teaching and testimony. It's available to all who request it. If you'd like to receive more information about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America and its ministry, we'd like to send you our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel. Or if you'd like to have tape or CD copies of the messages here in Let the Bible Speak, you may have them by contacting us. Or you may visit us on the web at letthebiblespeakradio.com. Now that's a lot of information to digest all at once, but you can find it all on our website, letthebiblespeakradio.com. There you'll be able to listen to and download our programs, visit our online bookstore, and read a text version of each day's commentary. So visit us today at letthebiblespeakradio.com. This is Alan Cairns saying thank you for listening. I trust that you'll join us each day at this time, Monday through Friday, as we Let the Bible Speak.